The reading this morning is Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 to 20. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years, to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then that in your heart, that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs, gushing out into the valleys and hills. A land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey. A land where bread will not be scarce, and you will lack nothing. A land where the rocks are iron, and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then the Lord your God, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land, with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God.
Okay, so we're continuing with our study of the book of Deuteronomy today. Deuteronomy, as you know, is a book in the Old Testament. It's not a book that, on the whole, we read all that much. It's very concerned with the people of Israel, with their rules and regulations and how they were to live. And it was written a very long time ago, of course. So I was looking forward to preparing this today. And the title we have is Remember, Remember. It's not the 5th of November, but Remember, Remember, because this is what God was saying to his people. The children of Israel at this point were beginning to look forward to entering the promised land. It was going to be wonderful and fertile and beautiful, as you've heard, and they were looking forward to it. And that got me thinking about sort of looking forward to things. We often say to people, looking forward to meeting you again, don't we? Or we're looking forward to a holiday or a birthday, and I thought, what have I really looked forward to? What's been a really big event in my life that I've looked forward to? And I suppose one of the main events was the end of my medical course, where, and I was looking forward to being actually qualified and having my own patients. And after 5 years of training and 6 weeks of intensive exams, oral exams, written exams, practical exams on a daily basis, the list of those who passed was written up. And at this stage, I couldn't remember my own name by this time. So finally getting on a list of 100 people was, you know. But fortunately, my name was there. And I did actually qualify and worked a long time as a doctor, and I have my own patients, and some of them actually survived. In our reading today, the Israelites are looking forward to getting into the Promised Land. They've been rescued from Egypt, they crossed the Red Sea by miraculous means, and they received the Ten Commandments by this stage. And I need to think of this. Here we go. They were in the wilderness, getting near to the Promised Land. And so our message... Oh, I've missed that one. That was me. Sorry. our message is really God, through Moses, setting out how life should be lived in this strange new land that they were going to enter. God says, yes, look forward, but there are important things to remember as well. And it's this remembering that we should be looking at here today. So there are really two parts to this. We remember what God has done for us in the past, as the passage says, and we remember how to live in God's way in the future. And both of those are really, really relevant for us today. So before we look forward, let's begin to look back and remember what's happened in the past. We can all think of numerous events in our past, some sad, some happy events. I was brought up in Lancashire, and so every year when I was little, we used to go to Blackpool for our holidays. And there's a picture to prove it of me on a donkey. No comments, please. Me on a donkey. But as Christians, we need to look back and remember what God has done for us. What has God done for you in the past? What events in your life do you look back on as evidence of God's special care for you and his love for you? It's good to write them down, isn't it? If you really feel, yes, God was faithful there, write it down, make a note of it. Have a little book where you keep these events where God has been so faithful. It reminds us, helps us to remember. We can easily forget how God's directed our lives and looked after us. And sometimes it's only as we look back that we can see God's hand at work, isn't it? I can see how God's moved in my life and brought people into my life who've been such a blessing. I remember shortly after I became a Christian in my 30s, which now is a long time ago, and my husband decided that we'd go to Cliff College for a weekend of teaching, which was going to be good, and I can't remember a word about it, except that on the first night we were there, on the Friday night, you know, you have your meal and you go into the worship, and for the first time ever, I saw what I would call real men with their arms up in the air in worship to God. And I had never seen that before. And that just blew me away. And I just felt that was God saying, Kate, this is real, you know. And since then, I can see where he's brought me through difficulties. He's spoken to me. I haven't always listened terribly well. But I know that God has been active. And I know that you can say exactly the same. And God is saying, remember, never forget what I've done for you. It's important. Look back and see how I've looked after you in so many situations, especially when life gets difficult. And we can wonder whether God actually is still with us. In the wilderness, the Israelites, they're all looking very grumpy there, they had started to question, hadn't they, whether God was actually with them. They grumbled and they questioned about his presence with them. And we can be the same. We can have similar times. We can question whether God is actually with us, especially when things get tough, if we're facing illness, redundancy, depression, all sorts of factors that can pull us down. And that's the time when we must learn to remember and look back and see how God has looked after us in so many situations. And he doesn't change. His character doesn't change. He's always faithful. And he was still with his people. He fed them. He protected them. He kept them safe. He said their feet didn't swell. Their clothes didn't wear out. But in that wilderness, he humbled them, didn't he? They were helpless. They had nowhere to go but God. They couldn't trust their own efforts and their own resources because they didn't have any. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt that you've got no resources of your own in a particular situation? That you couldn't trust your own efforts, that you were just there in a kind of wilderness of your own? Couldn't trust your own judgment, and you think, does God exist? Does he care? Does he care about me? Just know that God hears you. God extends his grace to you, even in that wilderness. And for the children of Israel, in their desperation, of course, he fed them manna. He heard their cries. He fed them with manna, a bread from heaven, never been known before, specially for them. But just so they got their priorities right, here comes that famous verse. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Where have you heard that sentence before? Anybody? Jesus said it, yes, of course. In his own wilderness, in his temptations, Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy was a book that Jesus knew, a book that he loved, a book that he revered. And he quoted from it often. And here at his lowest time, when the devil was saying, are you the Son of God? Go on. Are you? Well, if you are, do something miraculous then, if you're the Son of God. And at his lowest time, Jesus quoted scripture and he quoted Deuteronomy to the devil. We live by every word of God. Do you remember C.S. Spurgeon, famous Baptist preacher? He said, in places, in workshops where they cut diamonds, where they're taking, you know, the edges off diamonds to make them sparkle more, there are tiny pieces that fall to the ground. Often they fall to the floor during the process. And at the end of the day, they're swept up and put together because they're so precious. Every little fragment is so precious. And God's words to us are so precious, aren't they? So valuable to us, like those little shards of diamonds. The words of Deuteronomy were precious to Jesus. And God was watching over the Israelites all the time. He knew exactly what was happening to them. And it's the same with us. Whether we know it or not, he knows our circumstances every day. Whatever challenge you face at the moment, you are not alone. He is with you. He may weep with you. He's wept with me. He may weep with you, but he'll never let go of you. Whatever challenges you have, your relationships, perhaps a relationship going wrong, perhaps a relationship you wish you could have and it's not happening, challenges of health, of money, of debt, bereavement, redundancy, the list goes on, doesn't it? Challenges at work. Perhaps you work for a difficult boss. Perhaps you are a difficult boss. Remember, he's there with you, in you, guiding you, the one who made you. And this is a good thing to remember as well. Two scriptures here, I'll just read them out, you can see them. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from the beginning of time. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. All those millions of years ago, he knew that you would be here one day, and now here you are. All those millions of years ago, you were in God's mind and his plan, and here you are. This is our one chance. This is what God made us for. You are here. And doesn't it put a different slant on our lives that God planned us all those years and years and years and years ago? And he's not going to give up on us, is he? His favour is for us. I remember during my career, I used to have to go to court. Not because I'd done anything, but quite from time to time, to give evidence and sometimes to kind of advise the court on various points of medicine. And one time I was going, and it was a criminal case, so that just adds a little bit extra sort of friction. And I was in a city I didn't know at all. It was rush hour. I got the map between my teeth. Where's the policeman? I've got the map between my teeth. It was before the days of sat-nav. And I just thought, my goodness, I'm never going to make it. And I just prayed, Lord, please, I've got to get to this court. And those words from Joshua just came into my head. Be strong and courageous. I will not fail you or forsake you. Isn't that wonderful? Just those words just coming in, just like those tiny fragments of diamonds, isn't it? Just so precious. And part of our remembering is remembering that we can see God in ordinary, everyday things of life. You know, Moses had a burning bush. Well, I've never had a burning bush, and perhaps you haven't either. But we can see God in the ordinary things of our lives. So that's kind of looking back. Let's look forward now. The Israelites were looking forward to coming into the promised land. There was going to be plenty of lovely food, beautiful landscape, fertile crops. It was going to be wonderful. And they were to bless the Lord at their mealtimes. Perhaps that's where we get the origin of saying grace. And God wanted them to be prosperous, to plant vines, have fertile farms, nice houses. But, he says, there are great pitfalls, and he warns them about it. And the main pitfall was the temptation to forget about him, to fail to remember God. What a lesson for us. It's so easy for us to take credit for our prosperity and begin to feel that our own hard work and our own cleverness have made us successful. We can do this almost without thinking, or perhaps totally without thinking. And our pride says, well, I've managed my life quite well so far. I'm doing okay. In fact, I think I've been quite smart on the whole. You can feel that, don't we, about our lives quite easily. It's not that God's against us doing well. He's not. He's not against your material things. He's not against your house, your car, your promotion, or whatever. But those things mustn't come between us and God, must they? They mustn't become more important than God. And I don't know about the Israelites, but I think for these days, there are a lot of other factors for us to contend with as well. Our lives are complicated, aren't they? Our lives are complex and pressured. We live under pressure day to day, managing your money, your life, your family, which is so important. Your job, your work, trying to balance everything. And this can lead to worry and anxiety. And worry can be a real pressure for us. I remember when I was working as a hospital consultant in Peterborough, and a busy, pressured job. And sometimes I would wake in the night and think about somebody I'd seen that day, a patient, and I'd think, did I do the right thing? Could I have done something better? Will it be okay? And we can all have that version of anxiety in the middle of the night, can't we? Will it be okay? Our days seem to become more and more busy and hectic. Am I on the right slide? Yes. And we can be sort of battered by news headlines. We're busy. We can be stuck in traffic with, oh my goodness, I've got to get there to the nearest second. We've got phones, we've got texts, we've got emails, we've got meetings, we've got crises, we've got social media all pressing in. Do you know that if you stop looking at social media, your happiness index goes up by 40% in a fortnight? Nick? What about influencers online show you apparent perfection and convince you that your life ought to be like that? That's how you should feel. That's how you should appear. Then there's the stress of wondering what people are thinking about you. When you're in your 20s, you worry about what people are thinking about you. When you're in your 30s, you've stopped worrying about what people are thinking about you. When you're in your 40s, you realise they were never thinking about you in the first place. And you know, we have no secrets now. All your Facebook messages, all your Alexa usage, your internet browsing is all collated somewhere. All collated. Everyone knows what you've been looking at. Google knows you're pregnant before you tell your mother. And we can get caught up in this frantic world, all the to-do lists. Where is God in all this? Where is he? In this busy, anxious, stressful life we have, is he anywhere? Is he anywhere at all? Is he just another demand on our time? How easy it is just to push it all aside, flop down and stare at Netflix or Amazon Prime or whatever, and just let the hours go by. And we don't realise how insidious that can be. Sometimes we need to wake up and look around. Time is passing. The ancient Israelites forgot about God because of their prosperity. We have to deal with prosperity and the pitfalls of that, but we can forget about God because of the pace of life, the busyness, the distractions all around us. And we can allow things to gradually pull us away from God. We need to wake up and remember our priorities. If not, the temptation is to gradually start worshipping something that's not God. That's the big temptation, isn't it? To worship something else, to worship something that's not God. Matt Redman has these words in one of his songs, and I think they're brilliant. He says, "Everyone praises the thing they love. Everyone announces what they adore." So somehow or other, maybe by words, it may be body language, it may be something else, you announce to people what it is that you adore. Everyone's singing a song inside, bowing down low with a sacrifice. Are you sacrificing? Are you sacrificing your family time because for your work? Whatever it is, are you sacrificing your prayer time for your possession? I don't know. But we're bowing down low with a sacrifice to something. We speak many words, we sing many words, but our hearts will show what we're spending our lives upon. I think that's insightful. What we say and more what we do announces what we actually worship, doesn't it? What we do announces to everybody what we worship. But somehow, in this pressured individual life, people still long for intimacy, for love, for affirmation, for community. And what do they see around them? Lack of trust in public figures. Even democracy seems to be under threat. You look at the news headlines and you feel quite helpless. Someone is reported to have asked the Pope, "How many people work at the Vatican?" "Oh, about half of them," he said. There seems to be a lack of integrity in public life. Even the security of our government often seems to be under threat. And God is saying, remember how things should be. It shouldn't be like this. We should have a different view. As Christians, we have a life of thankfulness and promise and hope. And instead of seeking to accumulate money, we give it away. Instead of seeking success and prestige for ourselves, we're pleased to see others doing well, getting on. Instead of always wanting to be first, me, 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 we seek to be humble, to let others go first. Instead of seeking my needs, I must satisfy my needs before anything else, we seek the needs of others. We let go of that clenched fist, as I read recently. And instead of harbouring a grudge, we forgive and we forget. And above it all, we remember who we are in Christ. We sang that this morning, didn't we? I am a child of God. That's our identity, who we are in Christ. It's Christ who says who we are. We're God's child, God's precious child, each one of us. In fact, Jesus himself commands us to remember. We've been looking at the children of Israel and how they came out of Egypt. And they were freed, of course, at the time that came to be known as Passover. They were saved by putting the blood of a spotless lamb over their doorposts. And being under that blood, as it were, they were safe from death. It's an amazing story, an amazing event. And it became, for the Israelites, the main event of their history. It was the most important thing that had ever happened to them, the event that kind of made them into a nation, really. They remembered it for hundreds of years and still do to this day, of course. Passover was their time of thinking and remembering their deliverance from slavery in Egypt. And in the New Testament, as a Jewish man, Jesus celebrated Passover as well, just like everyone else. But then he takes the whole of the tradition of Passover, so special to the Jews and to his disciples, and turns it completely on its head. And he says, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Not the blood of a spotless lamb anymore, but the blood of the spotless Son of God." The parallels between the original Passover and the Last Supper are just amazing. Jesus takes all their tradition, all their imagery of deliverance that they'd known for hundreds of years, and he turns it all onto himself. He is the spotless sacrifice. He's the one making the new covenant in his own blood. Parallels are quite amazing. The whole idea of Jesus taking that pinnacle of Jewishness, the most important feature of their tradition and belief, and making him the centre of it. My body, my blood. And what did Jesus say to the disciples as they took the bread and wine? Do this in remembrance. Do this in remembrance. Jesus calls us to remember him, his sacrifice, and his whole life. And with that final Passover meal and the covenant, Jesus was saying that he was the final sacrifice. It's as if the whole story of us and the whole story of the entire world, all the sin, the shame, the evil that's gone on and still will go on, it's as if it all gets focused and funneled down to Calvary, isn't it? All that's happened through all the ages and still will, all that evil and sin and shame gets funneled down into Calvary. And Jesus says, remember, remember that. And because of that sacrifice and that new covenant of Jesus, we can come to know God as Father. We can run into his arms, as it said in that song. And that just reminds me of something which I just share with you to close. Do you remember the man who wrote the Message translation of the Bible, Eugene Peterson? He said that the meaning of Abba, the closeness, the love of that expression, really came home to him on one occasion at an airport. He was standing next to a Jewish mother with her little boy, her son, and they were watching people disembark from the plane, people coming through arrivals. And all at once, the little Jewish boy shouted, "Abba, Abba," and ran forward. His daddy had just appeared through the arrivals gate. And the little boy ran forward, shouted, "Abba!" And his daddy scooped him up into his arms. And that's how close we're invited to come to Almighty God, isn't it? Through Jesus and his sacrifice. Remember what he's done for us in the past. Remember him as we go into the future. And remember how very blessed we all are. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that we can call you Abba, Father, Daddy. And just as a tiny child can't understand the depth of love that his parents have for him, so we can't understand, Lord, the depth of love that you have for us. Thank you for looking after us in the past. Thank you for protecting us. Please stay with us in the future. Keep us faithful as you are faithful to us. Keep us always aware. Thank you so much. You take such an interest in us every day. Thank you, thank you. In your wonderful name, amen.